Good morning.
Good morning.
Can we look to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your love, for your provisions you make for us physically and spiritually. We're grateful for the opportunity we have to gather here this morning, for the freedom that allows us to do that. We thank you, Lord, for your Son and his provisions for our salvation. We pray that as we look into your word this morning, you would teach us that which you have for us, that each one of us would be edified by your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, yesterday was Christmas Day, but if you're expecting a Christmas message, you'll be disappointed. I decided it was over for this year, so we're not going to talk about it next year. Not going to be a subject this morning at all. But I do plan on considering a subject that is important to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit, which I hope is what you expected when you came. I would like to think, I would like for you to think with me about some of what the Bible says about fruit. As long as I've been in the Christian faith, that seems to be a point of contention among people. What is fruit? How much of it should I produce? Should I produce any? What should it look like? It just seems like it's always been a subject that people have discussed. So we're going to look at it this morning in at least three different aspects. I would like to try to define it as the Bible talks about fruit, what it's talking about. I would like to look at the mandate in the Scripture that we are to produce fruit. And finally, I would like to consider the result of us producing fruit. So with those three things in mind, we'll look into the Scripture. What is fruit? In Strong's, when I looked it up, it wasn't very clear. It didn't go into it very deep. It just said that which originates or comes from something. Now, that really doesn't clear up much of anything. So I got out some more of my books, and I have a Vine's Expository Dictionary, which is a big, long thing. It's got a whole lot of stuff in it, most of which I don't understand. But it does say that which is produced by the inherent energy of a living organism. Your car can't produce fruit, but you can. Vines also says, and I think this is probably more important to us, that metaphorically, of works or deeds, fruit is the visible expression of a power working inwardly and invisibly. And I think most of the time when we as Christians talk about fruit in our lives, that's what we're talking about. The visible expression of a power working inwardly and invisibly. Now I'll probably say that several times this morning because I think that's important that that's what we understand fruit to be. Jesus says this about fruit in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 15. My hot button. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Jesus recognized that there was fruit in the life of people. And it can be good food or fruit, or it can be bad fruit. We're looking at this morning that which is good, that which is produced by the Holy Spirit dwelling within us as believers, the visible expression of a power within. Many kinds of fruit in the natural world. If you want to see a visible example of fruit, you just have to think about the world around you, right? We'll go through some of them. So you'll be thinking the same thing I'm thinking. Trees, big old trees out in your yard, produce fruit for years and years and years, right? You plant an apple tree, and 4 or 5 years it begins to produce apples, and 30, 40 years from now it's still producing apples. Same tree. Now, if you go out and plant a tomato seed in the spring, and if you're fortunate, it'll produce tomatoes that summer. And then it dies. Just one season. That's all it lasts. Both of them got fruit. Both of them are useful. But different. A lot of difference. Some fruits, some vegetables, produce fruit on stems above the ground. Beans, green beans, dry beans. They come up in a plant and they produce their fruit on them, and it's up there on the ground. You just go pick them and eat them or whatever, you know. But if you plant potato, you're not going to find anything hanging on the vine, are you? You got to dig in the ground for that. So they're both vegetables. You plant them in the ground, but they're different. All of it one summer, by the way. You just get 1 year out of those kind of things. Some fruit can be consumed raw. Apples, oranges, peaches, pears. You know, you just eat them. Pick them off a tree and eat them. Wait till they're ripe, though. Makes you sick otherwise. However, if you go out to a wheat field and pick that and eat it, it isn't really very good. And oats and corn. Most grains you really have to cook if you really want to eat them, right? They're still fruit. But it's different. We have been given so many good examples. Why is it so hard to understand that as believers, we will also produce many different types of fruit? I would venture to say that almost without a doubt that if I just walked up to you and talked to you about fruit, you would think of evangelism and people coming to Christ. Is that true? That basically is what we think about as fruit, I think. I don't know why that is. That's just one of the gifts. And if the body only had one gift, it wouldn't function very well, would it? But we think that way. We're going to look at Romans chapter 12. And this is a list of some of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. Beginning in verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Now, you could preach quite a while on that verse in itself. We're not to think that we're anything really great, but what gift did God give you? Have you thought about it? What does he expect from you personally today? Think soberly. As God has dealt to each one. "But as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to have a gift if you're not doing anything with it, is it? How many of us have had days or weeks or months or whatever when we didn't use the gift God gave us for the purpose God gave it? If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Prophesy sometimes means talking about the future. Sometimes it means just speaking the truth. Or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who sows with mercy, with cheerfulness. Some of the gifts that God gives, and some of the uses for those. And you could expect a different result out of those gifts, couldn't you? By the way, as Paul goes down through this, he doesn't even talk about evangelism, does he? Other things are as important. Whatever your gift is, God thinks it's important. And they produce different kinds of fruit. You could expect that, you know. If you got the gift of management, that's what you're going to be doing, is taking care of a group someplace. 1 Corinthians. And some of you will know that these are what the gifts are. I mean, this is not new stuff. We talked about in Sunday school class about remembering, and that's what this is all about. I don't propose to have anything new for you up here. Just remember. Paul says, as he writes to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." Shall I stop there? How would you get over being ignorant about spiritual gifts? You might look into the Word, mind you. You might listen to the Holy Spirit as He talks to you about yours. And why aren't you using it? I can only say that because I've heard that, see. Why aren't you using it? In verse 4 of that same chapter, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." And then he goes through a list of gifts. And I want to remind you that metaphorically, of works or deeds, fruit is the visible expression of a power working inwardly and invisibly. What is that power? The power is the Holy Spirit. He gives the gifts. He empowers the gifts. He tells you where to use it and how to use it. And He helps you to increase in that use. And He brings fruit from using it. That's the power that's within, the Holy Spirit. To each one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. It's always the Holy Spirit that does this. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. Or to another, the interpretation of tongues. Lots of different gifts. Lots of different fruit. Not hard to understand, is it? Then we can expect different people to produce different kinds of fruit in our group, right? There are some examples of fruit in the Scripture. And I'm going to start with the one that's controversial.
Let
Let's go to Acts chapter 2. What happened in Acts chapter 2? Some of you know, I'm sure. I don't want to read the whole thing because this is Peter's sermon. And it takes up a lot of different verses. But it starts with Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and to them, said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. That's the way he began his sermon. And he talked to them about the Lord Jesus Christ having come in the flesh and was the Messiah, how he died on the cross and he was resurrected. Now, remember, he was talking to a group of Jews who would have understood what he was talking about but didn't believe it until he got to talking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it ends in, oh, let's see. I'll start with in verse 40 of chapter 2. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now, Peter obviously had the gift of evangelism. In the power of the Spirit, he gave the message, the gospel message. And in that day, because of the Spirit, 3,000 souls came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was his fruit. And because that's so prominent, and because Christ said, go and make disciples, we think that's fruit, is evangelism and people coming to Christ. And if you got the gift of evangelism, that's fruit for you. But it isn't necessarily the fruit God would have everybody produce. Right? Peter was working with Jews who knew the Scripture but didn't believe that it had been fulfilled. Paul in Ephesus, Acts chapter 19, talks to a different kind of people. Paul speaking to them in Acts 19 and verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know, they were disciples, but they weren't disciples of Christ. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Do you know what John's baptism was? John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, making the way for Christ to come. He told the people of Israel, make forth fruits of repentance. Change the way you're thinking about your lifestyle. God's plan. Messiah is here. The kingdom of God is here. And repent. So they were Jews who believed that Christ was coming, but didn't know that he had. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him. That is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now there were about 12 in all. Probably Paul gave nearly the same message that Peter did. Wouldn't you agree? The gospel to a group of Jews who believed in God but didn't know that you'd believe in Jesus Christ yet. Peter got 3,000 souls for his message. Paul got 12. Paul obviously wasn't as good as Peter was. Now, isn't that the way we reason? That's not true. These 12 needed the gospel. And Paul was there. And the Holy Spirit used him to bring life to these 12 people. And that was important. Is God using you in somebody's life today? If He is, that person's life is important. Now, He might want you to go down on the street corner and preach to whatever crowd you can gather. I don't know. But if it's just one person, that's still important. Amen. Think soberly, with reason. Let the Holy Spirit use you. And souls are important. That's good fruit. There's no question about that. But it's not the only kind of fruit. We know, I think we know pretty well, that Luke and Peter and Paul all were used to write Scripture. Right? Luke was the runner, wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts, the history of the church. Paul wrote 7 letters. I don't know, I should have looked that up. Anyway, he wrote a bunch of letters to the churches, and they're with us today. And we call them Scripture. And we know that basically they are the Word of God. In Sunday school, we've been looking at 1st and 2nd Peter. And I'm sure Peter did a whole lot of other things, but one of the things he did was write a couple letters to believers. And we can read them today and be reminded of what God expects of us. And the trouble that we're going to find in the world. How did he do that? How did these men be able to do that? The visible expression of power working inwardly and invisibly. I don't know. I don't even know if Paul knew when he was writing these letters they were going to be that important. You suppose he did? Sitting down there in the prison trying to figure out how to write in the dark. And they didn't have iPods, by the way. I don't know what he even used to write on. But some way he wrote to Timothy and to Titus and to some churches. And today, 2,000 years later, the Holy Spirit has preserved those for us. Because he was using these men. Now, is that fruit? Do you have the gift of teaching? I'm sure that there are people out here who God has blessed with the gift of teaching. Are you using it? I know that some are. Because Sunday school classes get held and people learn about the gospel and the Bible and God and all those things. Maybe there's others who could be. I don't know whether you got any writers here or not, or how important that is. I have, in my little itty-bitty library at home, I was looking the other day, about 40 books that are about Christian things. Commentaries, dictionaries, stories. All kinds of things that I can look at. Somebody wrote those. How long did it take MacDonald to write his commentary, single commentary? It's about that thick. I have no idea. But I use it almost every time, every day that I study. Is that a gift? Is that a fruit? The visible expression of power working inwardly and invisibly. I thank my God that the Holy Spirit did allow these people to write these books so that I could have a better understanding of what's in this book. And you can too. If you'll spend the time and look at it. A different kind of fruit. So now we're talking about people as fruit and books and writings and so forth as fruit. Let me see. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 15. Paul's writing back to the church at Philippi. And he says, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only." Now, this is a nice way to say you sent me some money and some other things I needed. Now, we got to figure out nice ways to say things like that. They did. They said, I don't know what they sent. Care package. I don't know whether it was money or whether it was other stuff. But he needed things and they sent it. "For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities." And he says, "Not that I seek the gift," but although he needed it, "but I seek fruit that abounds to your account." Some way or another, them being willing to meet his need was fruit to their account. Are you meeting anybody's need today? Has the Holy Spirit talked to you about meeting anybody's need today? There have been times in my life when it's kind of come up and somebody needed something and I had it, but I also had a bill. And then you got a choice to make, don't you? Do I pay the bill? Do I meet somebody's needs? Do I have hamburger for supper or do I have steak? Do you ever faced with those kind of decisions? I have been. I believe that if you listen to the Spirit, that's fruit to your account. I don't know who keeps track of those kind of things. We're supposed to not to think too highly of ourselves, so maybe we should let somebody else keep track. That was fruit to their account. Different kind of fruit. Hebrews. This is another one of my favorite verses. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. If you've been listening to my speaking before and time again, you probably heard this before. "Therefore, by Him, that is by the Spirit, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." That's the kind of fruit we can have either for ourselves, you know, I can, in a quiet time, give thanks to God and recognize that that's fruit for me. Doesn't it feel good just to recognize that God is working in your life? But it also can be fruit when I stand up here in front and say that God is merciful and gracious and supplies my need. And I thank Him for that. I thank Him for salvation that started me down this path. And that's fruit. Isn't it? How often do you thank God for the things that are happening in your life? It seems like it's a lot easier when things are going good. Or you sit down in a chair and the doctor says, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And your wife said, "Is that good?" And he says, "Well, no, we don't cure that." Now can you thank God? "Well, yeah, because I'm well enough to be able to stand up here and He can use me in somebody else's life besides mine. So, yeah, I can thank God for that." And I have a hope ahead whenever that comes. And I have no more idea than you do when it's coming. But one day we'll be with Him, if you're a believer. And we can thank God for that. Different kind of fruit. I got this little note I wrote down last evening when I was thinking about this. I said, we should not expect apple trees to produce pears. Right? So if this person has the gift of teaching, we don't necessarily expect them to produce one of the other gifts. Any other gift. Maybe the teacher doesn't have a good gift of organization. Maybe the evangelist doesn't have a good gift of organization. We knew, Sally and I knew in the past, an adult male who got saved. I mean, one of them kind of got really saved. And it was obvious that upon salvation, the Lord said, this is the kind of personality I want. I'm going to make him an evangelist. And he's kind of like Dale. He could talk to a fence post and probably get an answer. But this guy decided he wanted to be a pastor. And he's still fighting that battle. And that's 30 years ago. And I talked to him and talked to him and talked to him. That's not his gift. But he wants to be a pastor. He started his own church. It ain't very big. And people come and go because he doesn't have the gift of pastoring. He's got the gift of evangelism. But whatever God's called you to do, do that. Don't ask for somebody else's gift. Don't try to do somebody else's thing. Do what God wants you to do. And let that invisible power work in your life. We don't go up to a grapevine and expect to find a watermelon. Believers are going to produce a variety of fruit. And that's what makes this body work. But we all need to be finding out what our gift is and let the Holy Spirit work that in your life. We are expected as believers, as sons of God, sisters, daughters of God, whatever we are, to produce fruit. And I think we all know this. Maybe we don't always remember it, but we always know it. Jesus, talking to his disciples in John chapter 15 and verse 16, says this: you did not choose me, but I chose you. How many of us have got the gall to say, I went seeking God? I've been there. I've become to recognize that's not true. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain. That's our purpose. That's why God chose us, was to produce fruit. Not sit in a pew, not just come to church when we feel like it, to produce fruit. Whatever fruit that we're designed to produce. Romans chapter 7. In verse 4, Paul says, therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. Now, this is all part of a big situation where we say we're not under the law anymore, we're under grace. And the purpose of that is that we would go forth and bear fruit to God. pretty clear, huh? And not a whole lot of competition about that. But you just say it. That's what it is. There's an example of that kind of fruit in Romans 15, in beginning in verse 26. And Paul talking about a collection for the saints at Jerusalem. This is money. You know, you can mention that up here. It's okay. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. And it pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of the spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed it to them, this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. They're giving some money that's going to go to Jerusalem because they had a real need over there. And Paul calls it their fruit. I don't know how the Holy Spirit told them that Jerusalem needed some money and they had some they could spare. But he tells us that kind of thing. What did I say it was? The visible expression of power working inwardly and invisibly. That collection going to the Jerusalem church from Macedonia and Achaia was that visible fruit. What's he doing in your life? What's he asking for? What are you doing about it? Whoops. I don't know. But I know this. He expects us to produce fruit. The result of our bearing fruit. John 15. We're going back to where Jesus is talking again. In John 15 and verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so will you be my disciples. You want to be a student of the Lord Jesus Christ? God is glorified when you bear fruit. Whatever gift you have, when that is producing some visible results, God is glorified. If we give Him the credit for it. Right? Think soberly. Not greater than we are, because it is God that's doing it, and God should be glorified for it. We are also able to show the world, those out there who up to this point have not come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, what He is like. There's a distorted view of what God's like out there in the world. Right? If they have any view at all, it's really distorted. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is that the Lord Jesus Christ? If we walk in the Spirit, it says, we will produce the fruit of the Spirit. And those things will be true of us. And we can show the world what He's like. If we operate as He wants us to, as a body of Christ, here within this group, each of us producing the fruit that He's asked us to produce, then that body as a whole looks like Christ. Right? But if I don't do what God tells me to do, there's a hole there someplace. Something isn't getting done. You are important to the church, whoever you are. You want to have peace? You want to have peace in your life? Here's a result. Of peace, of the fruit in your life, if I can find it. Hebrews chapter 12. We like this one. Chapter 12 and verse 11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, if it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You know why God disciplines us? Because we need training. Part of training is to be disciplined. And if you want to have peace within yourself and with God, be trained by His discipline. And that's the fruit, is peace. One of the results is peace. Fruit is produced by living things. We who are believers are alive spiritually. I think we all agree with that. That's what happens. So we ought to produce some kind of spiritual fruit. Is that right? Now, I don't know whether you're a vegetable or a tree or a grain. But we all ought to be producing some kind of fruit. The Bible tells us we are expected to produce fruit and gives us examples of some kinds of fruit. One of which, of course, is evangelism and people coming to Christ. But it's not the only kind. And we must abide in Christ in order to produce fruit. What did it say? The visible expression of a power working within us. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Without me, you can produce nothing. Necessary to stay abiding in Christ. When we are faithful to produce the fruit God asks of us, God is glorified and the world sees what Jesus is like. It makes Him attractive to the world. We don't force people to come to Christ. We make it attractive to come to Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love for us. Thank you for your word and how you've preserved it. We pray, Lord, that as you teach us to us, that you'd help us to apply it to our lives, that as we go forth from this place, we would desire to be your servants. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.